Welcome back, Dodecadorks. We're the 12-Sided Guys. We have Scott as Ornan.
At your service.
Sabrina as Sylvie.
Oh, hello.
Jordan as Mogrim.
You're most welcome.
Matt as Gee.
That is my name. Don't wear it out.
And me, Paul, weirdly enough, as every single NPC that my twin brother's character wants to bone. Yeah, I'm in therapy.
Are there any girls? Because if there are, I want to do them.
Where's the Mountain Dew? But we're glad you've come along with us on this adventure to see just how many NPCs Gee can sleep with and to see how many different uses there are for distilled urine. The answers so far are 1.5 and 7. And let's not forget how many times the Bloodhound strikes again or how many mind-controlled combatants Ornan will bonk to death. Those answers are 8 and 3.
Really?
Don't forget to check out our Discord.
You forgot to mention how many children Sabrina has killed.
Hey now! Sabrina hasn't killed any children.
Don't forget to check out our Discord where you can come and chat with us and other fans. We're there pretty much all the time. So come on over and chat. The link is in the description. And so is the link for our shop and our Patreon. Anyway, if you ever bought a heart-shaped bed so you could have a romance everyone playthrough, then this podcast is for you. It's the Chorus of the Forsaken, episode 29.
I don't know what game that is, but I want to play.
I know that you go up there in the bed, and then your heads go down underneath the covers, and the covers go,
yes,
and then you come back up, and then maybe you're lucky there's a baby.
Just like real life.
Yeah, if you're lucky, there's a baby.
That's The Sims, right? That's The Sims.
Exactly.
Okay, well, hey, welcome back, everyone, to Via Severia in the city of Redlam.
Glad to be back.
Well, thank you. Well, last time we were together, our party, Wilhelm and Associates, went and met with the Silent Voice, the group of underground magic users, arcane magic users, who were in hiding from the Church of Aeona here in the city of Redlam. As they were discussing the Silent Voice, as well as Jellowyn's position with the Silent Voice, suddenly in through the back door came a tiefling woman and her son. The woman's name was Marie and the son's name was Zephyr. And she came in
hot and ready.
I mean,
like a kinda. Little Caesars.
Like a pizza?
That was awesome.
She came in distress, saying that her daughter, Evelyn, had been taken by the Church of Aeona. The 6 members of the Silent Voice were now only 5 because Evelyn had been taken and was being held in the Temple of Aeona here in Redlam. According to the members of the Silent Voice, when Jellowyn was captured, it was about 48 hours before they burned her at the stake, right as our players were entering the city. So our players decided to do what heroes do and tell Silent Voice that they will go and rescue Evelyn.
We're such heroes.
We are. We're super duper heroic.
After that, the party decided they had some time to try to gather some intel, not only on the Church of Aeona, but also to see about getting paid by the Baron. So the party split up. Sylvie and Gee went to the Church of Aeona, and when they entered, they saw all sorts of different worshipers. They saw members of at least a few of the different sects, the different orders of Aeonan worship, some of them being crusaders, some of them being more of the temple or church who are not actively on crusade, and they saw people who were in there worshiping Aeona by the light of these massive braziers and fires everywhere, all very controlled, but definitely a show of flame representing the cleansing flame that is Aeona. Gee went and spoke with Annalise, the prelate of Aeona, who apparently has been having similar dreams to Wilhelm and Associates, but this time apparently in the viewpoint of Peter, the merchant who was there in our first episode, the merchant who had the hired dragonborn guard who was in the basement of the abandoned Temple of Kelimvor when everything fell apart. Guy decided to work his magic, and he did. He managed to set up a dinner date with Annalise at the Black Dog Cafe as Sylvie watched on and was it watch and learn? Is that what she was supposed to do? As Guy and Sylvie were over at the Temple of Aeona, Ornan and Mogrim went back to the Oaken Throne, and when they came in, one of the workers there mentioned that there was a letter that had come for them. When they opened it, they saw that it was a summons to the castle, to Umbral Pike Keep, to go and meet with the Mistress of the Mistress of Coin.
It's the Cones of Dunshire.
Is it Madonna? Is it Madonna?
The 1980s Madonna outfit.
the Mistress of Coin, Sephora. The last thing that occurred, Mogrim and Ornan were entering into this massive dark castle. They had just gone through the gatehouse on their way to meet with Sephora and get their reward. And that is where we are at right now. We are jumping right back in with Mogrim and Ornan. All right, so Mogrim and Ornan, you are venturing into the castle. You have gone through this massive gatehouse. This castle is so much larger than Grimley Castle in Barrograd. As you move through this castle, you can't help but again recognize that it is large to the point of almost being a village unto itself. There are other houses and other buildings. There's an armorer and a blacksmith and a farrier and a stable all here, a baker, a brewer, all here within the castle.
A candlestick
walls.
Maker.
I was just going to say that.
There was a candlestick maker. They're all knaves in a bathtub. That's how it goes, right?
You knave.
Rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know more than that.
They were all knaves. All of them were. Okay. so you are moving through the castle, heading towards where you were led last time you came, which is the main tower. Not the, like, keep. I know this is called Umbral Pike Keep, but it's not, like, the last bastion. It's one of these larger, more elaborate towers here in the castle. Less defensible, but still definitely built out of stone. Still this foreboding large edifice where you went last time to the small hall where you met with the Baron. As you approach, a guard approaches you. This is one of the more, the only word I can think of is badass guards. One of the castle guards, not one of the city guards, approaches you.
Is that their official title? Like, that's a rank that they earn?
Yeah, is that a Gardenia guard?
Technically, Gardenia is a city guard. She is not a castle guard. So her equipment is not as good, at least it shouldn't be, is not as good as these castle guards.
That explains why she's wearing leather armor.
Just going to say that. You know, that's exactly why.
She had to bring her sword from home because otherwise they just give her a cudgel.
It's the British police force. It's just a little blunt stick.
A little billy club. As you are walking towards this tower, this guard approaches you and he says, "Holt, state your business."
Do you want to take this or should I?
Well, I'm here for money.
Yes, money. We have a summons and I'll show it to you right here. Mistress of Coin has lots of money for us. I'm hoping it's a big check.
He takes the note from you. He kind of gives you a little nod, like not quite a full bow, but more than just like an acknowledgement. And he takes the note from you as he's looking at it. And then he says, "Right this way." And he leads you away from this tower and he leads you over towards the only way I can describe it is the back of the castle. If this castle is built up on a hill, there is one gatehouse to get in. And then you have to move past all of these other buildings and towers and fortifications to get to the keep, the actual last bastion. You are brought to a building right next to that. So still highly defensible. One of the last places that would get attacked by an attacking army. and he takes you in to this building. It is a single story section of the castle built out of this dark stone. As you walk in, you can see that there is a staircase going up and a staircase going down, as well as some doors on either side of this main entry room of the castle. And you can't help but get a little bit overwhelmed by the sheer size of this building. But you are immediately taken downstairs. You go down one flight of stairs. There's another hallway going off, but the guard takes you down another flight of stairs until you are in like a second basement. There is this long hall. It's actually relatively wide, about 10 feet wide and tall and arched at the top. So it's almost like you're going down this tunnel. And once you're down here, there are no doors on either side, except for straight ahead at the end of the hall, probably about 50 feet down. You see that there is this large, massive, studded iron double door. He takes you to the door, and then there is a knocker on the door. As he knocks, a small window in the door opens, and the guard doesn't say anything but just shows the note up in the little window. And then the voice on the other side of the door says, "All right, show them in." And the guard steps back, kind of motions for you to step forward as a small door in the double doors, like a postern type of a door, opens, and you are allowed into the treasury of Umbral Pike Keep.
Ooh. Do you have an even smaller door for me? I see that you get two sizes. Do you have three?
It's the post postern.
There is a you hear just the lightest laugh from the guard as he's walking away, the one who led you here. As you move into this room, the first thing you notice is that it is also kind of a continuation of the hallway. But here, the floor is these golden tiles, this kind of golden marble tiles. There are alcoves on either side. Three on each side of this hall, and then you can see ahead, it opens up into this larger room. As you start moving past these alcoves, in the second set of alcoves, you see two armored figures. They are heavily armored, plate armor. You see that one is slightly smaller than the other, but they both look formidable. They have great swords on their back. They have like plate, chest plate, and then a green and white cape draped down their back in the colors of the Darkheart family. As you continue to move into this main chamber, you can see that there are four pillars holding up the roof above. Straight ahead, you can see the vault door. It is a massive iron and gold banded, brass studded, beautiful door. It looks incredibly formidable. The locks on it look intense. And you see that there is also a door to the left and a door to the right. In the center of the room, you see that there are two more armored figures. They're wearing splint armor, again, heavily armored, and they each bear two weapons, a long sword and a short sword. And then flanking this large vault door, you see there are two more armored figures. They are only wearing breastplates over gambesons that are split green and white. So they're all three, the three different groups of warriors are all wearing different types of armor, but they all are bearing the iconography, or at least the colors of the House of Darkheart. And these last two are bearing large shields and they have spears. And the one thing, Ornan and Magram, that you notice as you move past or can see all of these different warriors, they all look formidable. Ornan and Magram, why don't you guys make a perception or investigation checks?
Ornan got a 2 perception.
Nice.
I might do investigation.
Okay.
I got a 9.
Ornan is staring at the ground.
Magram, this is quite literally paved in gold.
You know, it looks like some of the tile in here is blue, but here in the center of the room, the gold tile you've been following leads straight to the vault door, and then there is a another set of gold tile heading to each of the doors on the east and west side. And then the rest of the tiling in here is like this rich blue. But the tile work in here does not necessarily look like it's actually gold, but it does look incredibly expensive and incredibly well made. But as you guys are sitting here looking at this tile work and kind of glancing around, realizing that you are in the vault of Umbral Pike Keep. Well, maybe not the vault, but you are right outside the door. This is a place that most people never get to go. You guys, with your lousy perception scores, what I will tell you is that...
Paul, point of order, lousy perception score and lousy investigation score.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yes, please.
We sucked at both. Thank you very much.
Well, you notice that the door on the western wall is cracked open, and you can see back there that there are two figures moving around back there. They are wearing, they're not expensive clothing, but it's nice clothing. As they are moving around, they are doing things like moving books and taking notes with quill pens and things like that.
Markram, have you ever seen one of those heist plays where the characters are talking about all the stealing things that they're doing, but it kind of, they do it in flashbacks, and I'm feeling some urges that I need to push down.
I agree. I feel like I have these urges too, but I also feel like I have not done any planning at all and would certainly die.
I was really hoping that you would be the planner and I'd just be the muscle.
Plus, you gotta refit some carriages, some small carriages, so that they can carry all this extra gold and stuff.
Oh my god!
And drive through the sewers? Was that what they did?
Oh, or the something subway tunnels? Like that.
Italian job. We're talking about the Italian job.
Oh yeah. Yes, and their Mini Coopers.
Yes.
Oh yes. That was basically just a big commercial for Mini Coopers. Anyway, as you are sitting here, you kind of glance over to that room on the west side. From one of the corners that you can't quite see through the open door, suddenly into your line of sight, you see a familiar face. You see Tobias, the tax collector, who had been in Berigrad collecting taxes for the Baron. He is lost in his work as he talks with these other two clerks who are in this room, keeping track of gold and taxes and that sort of thing as he moves again out of sight from your line of sight. But here you are in the center of the vault.
I'm jealous. You guys got to see Tobias in his natural environment.
And it was wondrous to behold.
Yeah, I didn't know that was something we were like looking forward to seeing.
No, guys, this is the Baron's best friend.
This is also, you realize, I think Ornan and Magrim, without even an insight check, you realize this is what Tobias normally does, right? He is literally a pencil pusher or a quill pusher. Like, this is what he does. The vault down here doesn't even have windows because it's so far underneath the ground. You imagine he spends hours down here every day.
He loves it.
You know what? He feels a lot safer here than he did in Berigrad. But as you are standing here in the center of the room, kind of wondering, the time starts to stretch on a little bit longer than is comfortable. These guards are just standing here. They're about, like, you guys have moved up into the center of the room. They're like 5 feet away from you, and they are just kind of looking at you. They're not saying anything. They're just
like
watching.
Royal guards where, like, we can't touch them and stuff.
Yeah, are they eating beef?
Why don't you make an insight check?
Because they're beef eaters.
Oh, hey, I got a 22 insight.
You don't get the impression that they can't like talk or move. They're just not moving. But you do get the impression you might not want to touch them. They might see that as a sign of aggression. With your 25 insight, Magrim, you realize that these are probably...
Thank you for acknowledging my glorious role. Take our victories where we can.
Exactly. Who knows when you're going to get a roll this high again. Magrim, you recognize that these six warriors down here are probably the cream of the crop here in Redlam. The personal guards of the Baron might be like a tier above, but these guys would definitely be, as far as the people who are still here in town, these guys are top notch. Time is stretching as you're sitting here in this room, and it's almost getting uncomfortable before a door opens and you see a familiar face. You see this woman dressed in nice clothing. It's not super fancy or extravagant, but it is well made. You see she's got this brown shirt on. She's got this black vest over it, buttoned up tight. She's got like flared pants. She's got brown skin and this black hair cut short, just kind of right about to the top of her collar. You see Sephora, the mistress of coin.
The way you described her with her brown shirt, black vest, flared pants, it's like she's going to the disco.
Her roller skates.
Oh my God. Well, she opens the door and she looks over at the two of you and she says, I expected 4. Please come in. We have some business. And then she moves around this desk in her room and you guys may enter her office.
Well, the other two couldn't make it, but we'll get whatever's their portion right to them.
Yes, we'll take whatever they have coming to them.
As you guys move into this room, it is a fairly large office. It's like 25 feet by 25 feet. So it's a large space. There's this desk in the center. The desk looks very well made, like mahogany or something. There are what looks like stacked ledgers on the desk. Everything looks like it's got its place, except for the desk. The desk is a little bit less tidy. You can see that there are scales on this desk. You can see there are little pouches of what must be money. And there are bookshelves that line this chamber, this office, this study of Sephora's. You can see also that there are a couple of chests behind her that look like they have very sturdy locks. I need everyone to make a perception or investigation check. Actually, Magram, what is your passive perception?
So it's 24, but you know, I was looking over it and it's because of the sentinel shield that it's that high. I think since the sentinel shield gives me advantage, it's like +5 to my passive.
Oh, so it should be 19.
Yeah, so 19 is what it would normally be without the sentinel shield like pulled out.
Gotcha. And you're not walking in here with your shield in front of you. That would be a sign of aggression, and that would probably end not very well for you.
I just always have it in front of me. I'm like Link.
Yeah, there you go.
Just Z targeting everybody.
He's over there holding his rod, swinging it around. You got a shield out.
Yeah, Gee's like, hey, baby, I think you're pretty, as he's swinging this scepter over his head.
No, Gee is somewhere else telling somebody, hey, baby, I think you're pretty, while he swings his scepter over his head.
Parallel storylines.
Yes, exactly. Well, as you are standing here in front of Sephora, I want you guys to make perception checks.
Ornan got an 11.
Oof, Magram got a 7. We're just dazzled by this place, I think.
It'd be great if like one of you rolled bad and the other one rolled well, but you're both rolling bad together and rolling well together.
Yes, you are.
It's because I stick together. We're a team.
Right. We are a team. Dudes. We fail and succeed together.
That's right. Mostly fail, but it's always together.
That's awesome. Well, Sephora actually asks you to close the door. As you enter, your perception checks were not very good. You are now here standing in front of her desk as she sits down and she says, so you, the two of you and your friends put an end to the Ravenstone clan, at least the Ravenstone clan as it existed 2 days ago.
Well, gee, it was really an accident.
Yes, honestly, they kind of put an end to themselves, if that makes any sense.
They were blackmailing us, and I just wanted to make some clarifications, and they just started fighting each other, and, well, we finished the job.
You see a twinkle in her eye as she picks up on something that you said. Blackmailing you? Blackmailing you how? What did they have on you?
It's not a great thing.
Oh, gee. Well, it wasn't on me. I'll say that much.
Jeez.
Margaret was laughing nervously.
I mean,
Margaret has a pee fetish.
Did I say blackmail? Oh dear. That's not what I meant to say. Surely you can strike that from the record.
She looks around. She's like, I assure you there's no record here. What was it that they had on you?
Well, to be honest, it was... it had to deal with our past, you see. I'm not proud of this, but given that we are in a room here all by ourselves, I used to be part of the Inquisition and fled many, many years ago, and they hoped to hold it against us.
Me too, actually, and we didn't serve together, but I also fled the Inquisition.
Why don't you guys make a deception check? One of you can make it with advantage as you are helping each other. What you have said is not a lie, but it's not the truth.
It is very deceptive, yeah.
Yes, it is. You have given her true information, but it is not what she asked. And this is a very astute woman. So let's see. Let's see how you do.
I only have a plus one. What have you got?
That's better. I got a plus zero, so.
Okay. Why don't we each roll one? Let's both roll one.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good idea, but all right.
We'll I'll see. Do it. Oh!
I got a 13.
And I got a 12.
You guys are twins. Man, you rolled the
really
same thing. You
guys really are teaming up together.
Oh my gosh.
We're totally buddy copping this one.
We're still holding hands. I think we mentioned that last episode too.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Well, as you say this, talking about being part of the Inquisition, I rolled for Sephora, her insight. She kind of sits back and she looks at the two of you. She's like, there's something you're not saying. Do I need to pull out my tool?
Oh God, she's going to whip it out.
Oh dear. I'm not ready for any tools.
I hate it when things get pulled out.
Before she keeps going, I want you guys to make another insight check on her, actually.
Oh, man.
I actually have decent insight.
Ornan got a 10.
I got an 18 that time.
So, Ornan, you are scared. You are afraid of Sephora. You sense this with your 10. You sense a cunning that makes you uncomfortable. Mogrim, with your 18 insight, you get the impression that this is the kind of person who takes information and tucks it away and saves it until she needs it. And you get the impression as well that these books in here that are on her shelves around her are not necessarily all about money and ledgers. There may very well be plenty of, you know, incriminating information in here. You have entered into her sanctum as she has caught you, or at least she thinks that you guys are being deceptive.
She's like Viserys.
Be careful, you're in her lair, so she'll have lair actions.
Let me look at her stats. Oh yeah, mummy lords do have lair actions.
Ornan is scared. I'm going to make a wisdom check. Okay. I rolled a nat 20 on the wisdom check.
Well, here's what I can say, because it's not my story to tell, but one of my companions used to travel with some unsavory sorts, and the Ravenstone clan knew that he was in the city, and they were trying to blackmail him, and we did our best to get him out of the situation. And that's the honest truth, as much as I remember.
I'm going to make a roll to see what she has figured out.
She starts to scratch her chin, and she's like, and you call yourself Wilhelm and Associates now? Wilhelm, where have I heard that name before?
No, she sits back with her roll. She's gonna sit back, and she's going to say, well, I appreciate you keeping some information close to the chest. I suppose you're wanting a reward.
Money, yes, please.
Money, please. Well, there were bounties for them.
She turns around and she pulls one of the chests. She kind of hefts it up and she sets it on the desk in front of her. She says, okay, so Baron Darkheart has decreed that for the capture of Calum, The reward is 400 gold pieces, as well as, and then she pulls open this chest and reaches in and pulls out this shirt of chain. So it's a chain shirt. She says, as well as this treasure from his personal armory.
Well, that's mighty generous.
She sets it back in the chest and closes it. And she says, and for the capture of Kestrel, and she goes over to the other chest and pulls up and puts that one on her desk as well. She opens it up. She says, 400 gold pieces and this treasure of Baron Thorn Darkheart. And she reaches in and she pulls out this cloak. This cloak is, it's got fur on it. It's kind of this reddish brown fur. I want you guys to make perception checks really quick.
The cloak with the fur.
With the fur. 21.
Ornan got a 10.
This is a relic, a trophy, spoils taken from one of Baron Thorn Darkheart's ancestors. With your 21 perception, Victor, you get the smallest little hint of like egg salad sulfur as she pulls that out of the chest, and then she sets it back in and closes the lid.
It's a cloak of deviled eggs. Anytime you want a deviled egg, you can just reach in and pull one out of a pocket.
I must have this thing.
So then she says,
I want that.
She says, for the dead bodies of Calum and Kestrel, you can choose from each chest. Will you take the chain or the 400 gold? Or in this other chest, will you take the cloak or the 400 gold? But you can't have all of it. Magram, with your insight of 18 that you rolled before, you detect just the slightest hint of irritation in her voice as she starts talking about the death of Kestrel and Calum.
Okay. I mean, I feel like I want to ask a little bit more to kind of understand why she would be irritated at their death.
Yeah, they were wanted dead or alive.
They were one dead or alive.
Dead just like Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm. I think I would actually ask and say, you know, the poster did say that they were wanted dead or alive. Presumably, if they were to be kept alive, it was so that some sort of perhaps information could be extracted. Is there something that you are seeking from these people?
Make a persuasion check. Ornan, if you want to help. Help right now before the opportunity passes.
Yes. Yep. I'm here with you.
Nailed it.
Yeah, all right.
Advantage?
I mean, if Principal can help me pick a lock, I'm pretty sure that's enough to give advantage.
Okay.
Ornan squeezes Mogram's hand.
No,
because we're holding hands.
All right. Okay, Mogram. Right.
We're holding hands the whole time.
Magram, go ahead and make a persuasion check with advantage.
Yay! An 8 and a 7!
Oh, man.
You know, with your 18 insight, your persuasion was terrible to get more information, but your insight is good. You recognize that there is definitely something about their death that has her disappointed. You feel like you might be on the right track with what you had to say. But she just says, well, we can't go back and change the past now. So what will you choose? Chain or gold? Cloak or gold?
What do you think, Ornan?
Well,
so just FYI, the chain looks like just a chain shirt. With your 21 perception, Magram, that you had, when she pulled it out, it seemed like it was lighter than it should have been for a chain shirt that size.
So like mithril or like elven chain?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah. I mean, mithril is extra light, but elven chain, isn't elven chain a chain shirt that anybody's proficient in?
Well, why don't we look it up? Elven chain is you gain +1 bonus to AC while you wear this armor. You're considered proficient with this armor, even if you lack proficiency with medium armor. It's AC 13 plus your dex modifier max 2.
Well, I don't need either the shirt or the cloak. I just bought this nice green one from that tailor. So I have no preference. If it were me, I'd just say the gold.
I mean, the gold is fine. Yes.
But you liked the smell of that cloak, is what it looked like.
I just really like eggs.
Who doesn't?
Markram's got some interesting, like, smell, like, things that he's really into.
And producing.
Well, I think we'll take the fur cloak and the 400.
The fur cloak and the 400. Okay, so then she doesn't even have to split up the chest. She just hands you the second chest that she put up on her desk.
Well, thank you.
She takes the other chest and sets it back down where they were before. She says, I guess that's all.
Yep, and we'll be leaving town, so you probably won't see us.
She's like, I thought that might be the case. Well, safe travels.
Yep, we're headed west. Or south. Which was it?
Make a deception check.
Oh my south God, west. Just shut the f*** up.
She says west back to Barrowgrad?
Oh, it was probably south then. All right, we'll see ya.
Well,
she's like,
big gulps, huh?
She says, probably not. And then she motions for you to leave as she goes back to one of her books and she immediately starts writing down in one of the books. One last perception check as you guys are leaving.
Okie dokie.
I got a 19.
I got a 10.
Okay.
I got Magrim, a rock.
I think Magrim, for some reason, you're carrying the chest at this point. You guys haven't switched and let Ornan carry it yet. And Ornan just kind of glances back. And as you glance back, you see that Sephora, the notebook that she pulls out is not one off of her desk. It's one from like underneath, almost like a secret little drawer in her desk. And she pulls that out and starts writing. And you get the distinct impression she is writing down all of the information that she just gathered about you guys right now.
Crap.
And you also get the impression that I get once again that she was the most dangerous person in the room with the Baron when you met with everyone last time. Okay. Magrim and Ornan, you leave the vault. You leave the building, you leave the castle and head back towards the Oaken Throne. At this point, we are going to jump back over to Sylvie and Guy. Last time we were together, you guys were in the Temple of Aeona. Guy had just set up his date with Annalise as Sylvie was watching and learning. And you see that it looks like at this point services have ended, but there are still people who are going around. As you recall, this building is very large. It's two stories, but each story is like 20 feet up and then to a very high ceiling. There are large windows. There are these massive flames that are inside that are glowing out through the windows. And then in the center of the room, there is this octagonal altar that rises about 10 feet off the ground with this large brazier where it looks like that's where the main sermons are taught from. You can see that there are priests and other inquisitors or crusaders or warriors of Aeona who are standing around these other braziers around the room. You can see that sometimes they'll take out a little piece of paper and write something on it and toss it into the brazier as they are burning away either their desires or they're burning away their sins, whatever it is that they're trying to rid themselves of. So Guy and Sylvie, at this point, Prelate Annalise leaves the conversation with Guy as she moves south and out of the chapel and into what you assume is the more living quarters of this temple. What are you guys doing?
Well, do we want to scope around and see if we can find anything, or do we want to go back to the cafe and see if she shows up?
I think she was going to go put on something sexy.
I mean, she's kind
that
of a nun, so she's already
a
there.
Thought.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But she's an anime nun.
She's an anime nun. You know, the kind that have the garter belt on around their thigh, you know? Jeez.
Oh, anyway.
Oh, anyway.
It might be good to kind of scope out a little bit more here. I'm looking around the room, and I'm seeing quite a few, well, more than I would have assumed, armored individuals in just this main chamber, which makes me wonder how many are back in the
in the other quarters?
Too many, probably.
Just to remind everybody what we saw that there are acolytes of Aeona, these priests, these hemnolite priests, these temple priests who are moving around. They are wearing like black and gold robes. They have these black and gold hoods on their heads, covering their hair, men and women moving around. They are keeping fires lit. They are speaking with the parishioners. Prelate Annalise looks like she is dressed the same, only slightly more detail on her robes, because she is actually a prelate, and everyone else who is in this room who is dressed like her would be an acolyte, sort of a initiatory ranking in the Church of Aeona. But you also see figures in this room who are wearing armor, still wearing colors of Aeona, but armor. These are the crusaders. These are the inquisitors who flock to these temples in these large cities. You can see that off to the west, sort of sitting off in this chapel to the west, you see that there is the Navorian wizard, who is one of these priests of Aeona who uses arcane power against other magic users. And you can see that the warden, this armored knight, is standing very close to him in order to give him aid or to kill him should the need arise. You can see that there are a couple of what you already determined are Vantorians who are actually very close to you. They are sitting in this chapel where you were talking with Annalise. They have the tattoos on their faces. They are wearing armor and they are wearing black and gold as well. And you see other figures moving around in this temple that you can't quite place where they fall in the Aeonian church.
If we want to get a better look around, I could make us both vanish. I mean, not right here. It would look really weird, but we could leave and then disappear and then come back through. Or we could just have Pranceville come in like a stray dog and look around.
I could also change myself to look maybe like an acolyte. But maybe we should try the invisible thing first, or maybe you should be invisible and I should look like an acolyte, and we should have Pranceville just for covering our bases.
Yeah, we'll have Pranceville running interference, like just running around sniffing things, and then you can dress like an acolyte and then I'll be invisible and we'll poke around and we'll see what we can find. What time is it? What time of day is it right now, Paul? Would you say
it's like dinner time? Like the sun is going down. This
has
been
an incredibly
full. Oh no!
I'm gonna be late for my date.
Well, okay, so it's like 5 o'clock at this point.
Okay.
And as we're getting closer and closer to like the winter solstice.
He's too young to have that early of a date.
That's right.
Yeah. What is this? The Villages?
America's friendliest hometown. So is that what you're going to do? So Guy would turn invisible and Sylvie would change to look like an acolyte of Aeona? And
yeah.
Pranceville would come in and
sexy,
run interference?
Sexy anime nun.
Yes. I mean, we'd leave first and then come back in, yeah.
Okay, very good.
I mean, we can't do it right here. There's people right next to us.
No,
like a superhero montage.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because I never know what you guys are going to do, so I try to prepare anything, every possibility, and I'm still sometimes surprised. Okay, so you guys are going to then leave this this church, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, step out, I think.
Why don't you guys take your tokens and move on out of the church? As you leave the church, you can see that most of the normal parishioners have already left. It seems like now it's basically acolytes and prelates and these crusaders and inquisitors of Aeona are the ones who are still in here. You even move past the other prelate of the church, this 35-year-old man with a dark beard. Yeah. With a dark beard and dark hair, as he thanks you for coming to the Temple of Aeona. You recognize him, Sylvie, as the man at the burning of Jellawid. He was the one who had the torch in his hand.
Oh,
who
gross.
He was going to light the fire, but then one of the Navorians cast a firebolt on it instead, and that started the fire.
Oh, see? Totally fine.
That doesn't make me feel any better at all.
He didn't
no,
start
I didn't
the fire.
Burn her. I was just going to burn her.
And he looked really put out that he didn't get to light that fire.
Yes. All right. So here's what we are going to do. You guys are going to leave the temple. At this point, I think Ornan and Mogrim are just about leaving the castle. But let me do this. Sylvie, try to move that person around for me, that token I just put up. Can you move her?
I can, yeah. Not very babelicious, but that's okay.
I don't know. I'd smash.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, up close, she kind of does look like very regal. Never mind. Yeah.
Her hat is dumb, though.
Well, it's a religious hood. I've gotten some really good AI hoods. This one I actually drew on myself, and I liked it bigger because it seemed more ridiculously religious when it got bigger.
Impractical, yeah.
It's an impractical hood, right? This is not the hood you would wear to keep the rain off. This is definitely a religious vestment. Okay. Gi and Sylvie, you leave this temple. There are places you can kind of duck around a corner if you want to cast your magical spells. What are you doing? Sylvie, what spell are you casting?
I'm casting Disguise Self.
And then Gi, what spell are you casting?
I'm casting Disappear.
All right. Okay. As far as Disguise Self, that does help incredibly a lot.
incredibly a lot.
Incredibly a lot.
I also snap Pranceval into existence, and I send him in, just running in, tearing in, sniffing things.
Just, like, causing a little bit of, like, covered in mud, flinging mud everywhere, running around, pissing on stuff.
But super happy and friendly while he does it, though. So not only is he distracting because he's making a mess, but also everybody thinks he's really cute doing it.
Everyone's like,
that's literally what a corgi would do. That sounds about right.
With that little open mouth smile as he's trotting around.
Yeah.
Yes, he's so sweet. So, Sylvie, are you a halfling-sized acolyte of Aeona, or are you making yourself look to be taller? I guess you can only make yourself a foot taller or shorter. So you would still only be like a 4 foot tall.
Yeah, I would make myself more halfling, like a little bit thicker and stouter.
You could run the gamut between halfling to dwarf, probably.
Right. Yeah, so a little bit stouter than I would normally be. Less gnomey.
Okay. All right. Oh, well, you now look like a halfling acolyte of Aeona. You have the black and gold vestments on. You have the black and gold hood. You have the regal bearing. And Gi, you turn invisible as Pranceful goes running into the temple. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, he's going to be the distraction so that way we can get into the temple without drawing any attention to ourselves.
Yeah, I think we're just going to go back and slip back there as quick as possible.
Okay. As you guys now enter the temple, 10 or 20 seconds after Pranceful rushes in, you see Pranceful rushing around this room, just barking and yipping and shaking and leaving muddy footprints as acolytes chase him and try to catch him. Make a perception check.
Sorry, I was busy making my token run around the room.
So we got a 5 on perception.
Okay.
I'm very stressed.
Gi got in that 20 for a 24.
So with your perception of 24, your natural 20, you see that most of the people in here are almost delighted by Pranceful moving around. The prelate who's there by the door, the one who was holding the torch, the one who thanked you for coming just a few minutes ago, he is laughing as you see these acolytes chasing.
Stop trying to make me like this guy, dude.
They can't all be boogeymen, right? You see that he is laughing as these other acolytes are chasing Pranceful around. But with your 24, you also see right by the doorway a couple of these armed figures, these crusaders. You see studded plate armor chased with gold around, like the pauldrons. The studs on the plate are gold. You can see that the plate is like dark, and it's not actually black, but it's kind of this dark smoke. And there is a black hood that is kind of built into the helmet. It's pretty badass, I'm not going to lie. You can see that these two armored folk are about the only ones who are visibly upset with Pranceful. And in fact, with your 24 perception, you see one of them start to draw a sword as it comes towards Pranceful. Because of your 24, I'm giving you the chance to do something with Pranceful before something bad potentially happens.
I'm going to mentally communicate with Pranceful and tell him to go jump into the prelate's arms.
Okay. as this armored figure starts stomping down the main nave of the temple, you see Pranciful dart past him and leap up into this prelate's arms as this prelate laughs and like scruffs Pranciful behind the ears, giving him scritches and loves as he turns around and he sees this armored figure now has stopped, but is still standing in kind of a menacing pose. And the prelate turns and says, "Ho there, Brother Dairinian, no need for that. All is well." And then the armored figure stands there for just a second and then turns around and heads back over towards his companion. You would know that Dairinian is not a name. It is an order of Aeona. And you would know that the Dairinians are the
ones born without senses of humor.
Yeah, they're the very, very like zealous force of arms type of inquisitor, crusader. Very little empathy, very little mercy, right?
They don't get invited to a lot of parties.
No. And in fact, you guys have already met a Dairinian. I think I mentioned this last time, but the dwarf in Baragrad, you had out of the four inquisitors that were there, the four Aeonian inquisitors, three of them were Vantorians, like what Ornan had been. And then one of them, the dwarf, he was a Dairinian, and he was even named Xander the Zealot.
Okay.
So you guys are now moving through the chapel as this prelate is scritching and kind of smooching on Pranciful, saying, "Oh, who are you? What is your name?" Is there a tag on Pranciful or anything?
No.
Okay.
But what Pranciful will do now is he'll like try to get down like he's trying to get toward the door. And if the prelate puts him down or takes him to the door, he'll just run off outside.
Okay. Yeah, the prelate can kind of sense that something's up, so he takes him over to the door, and as a joke, he kind of goes, "What is it, Lassie? Did Jimmy fall down the well?" Or I guess it's Timmy. Anyway.
And Pranciful runs right to the well.
The prelate just kind of laughs as Pranciful runs off. You see him kind of like wipe off his hands a little bit from all the mud, but he seems like a pretty good-natured guy. Just saying. All right, so Sylvie and Guy, you are moving through the room. Sylvie, you can see, you guys can both see, these figures here in the temple, all of them dressed in their Aeonian vestments of different types. And you can see at the south end of the hall, there is a door that Prelate Annalise went through earlier in the day. That is really the only way out of this room. There is a staircase that goes up on either side of this south wall that leads to a balcony that surrounds this temple portion of this complex.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I will like as confidently as I can while the distraction's going on, just walk through that back door.
Perfect.
And have Guy be close behind me, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you technically can't see him.
But that's exactly where Guy was trying to get to as well. So Guy gotcha. Will kind of follow through as you open the door and go through.
Yeah, as you open the door actually automatically shuts behind you. It's like on a spring or something. And as you walk out here into this this south portion of the chapel, you see that there is a difference in appearance. The floor tile, instead of being like rich and black and gold and stone and this elaborate church, it is still nice, but it's just normal tile floor. You can see that you are in a hallway that stretches from this doorway south about, I don't know, 50 feet. You can see that there are three doors on the western wall and two doors on the eastern wall, as well as it looks like there's a cross hall down at the end, just past a mosaic of a flame. Sylvie, I see that when you first walked in, you opened that very first door on your right. You can see that in this room, it looks like it is a storage room of some sort. You see that there are shelves with crocks of food. You see there are crates in here. You also see that...
Wait, there's crocks in Via Severia?
Yes, there are. I've got a patient who comes in and he's got Shrek Crocs, and he told me that they're like custom or something. I don't know.
Oh,
if that's
my God,
true.
That's amazing.
But they've got like, you know how you get the little clips for them? They've got like the little Shrek, like
his little trumpet ears.
Yes. Sylvie, you also see that on the floor in this storage room, you see there is a trap door. It looks like there is some kind of a staircase leading into a basement.
I'll kind of peek my head in, but then just sort of shut it and keep on moving.
Oh, I forgot one thing you did. Another thing you noticed is that in that room, there was also a door on the south wall. It looks like it leads into whatever the next room is there on the western side of this hallway.
Okay, so I'll kind of whisper to Guy and I'll say, it looks like there's a staircase down, maybe to the cellar or something, but I don't think that's exactly where we want to go.
Cellar may be where there's a dungeon.
I'll whisper as quietly as I can.
Sylvie, what are you going to do next?
I was just kind of going to step down and kind of crack open the next door and see what's in there, see if I can just kind of get a lay of the land.
I guess I should ask, are you trying to be stealthy or are you trying to look like you belong here?
I'm trying to look like I belong, but kind of also just like, I'm not like trying to bang open the door and be like, yo, dog, I'm here, but just kind of like, oh, peeking in to sort of see what's going on.
Yeah, as you open this next door on the western wall, you can see that it opens up into a kitchen. You crack the door, you kind of peek in. You can see that there are two servants. These are not in Aeonian clothing. They're just dressed normal clothes. You see that they are preparing some food, chopping vegetables, cooking up some meat, stirring a pot of what looks like some sort of stew or soup. They are preparing some sort of like a dinner meal. You see that that's what's going on in the next room. So it looks like here on the western side, that first room you came into was a storage room. And then the room that it is connected to is the kitchen itself.
Awesome. Okay, I will kind of stand there and just, like, see that these people are not Aeonian. I'll just kind of give them a polite nod and smile and shut the door and whisper to Guy and say...
Before you close the door, the woman in there, she notices, she says, oh, excuse me, Acolyte, is there anything you need? Dinner will be served in 30 minutes.
Perfect. I was just checking to make sure everything was coming along properly. I'm fine for now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Acolyte. And Aeona guide you.
And you as well.
Okay. All right. You close that door to the kitchen. There is now a door straight across the hall. And then it looks like there is a cross hall a little bit further south. And then there are two more doors that you can see right at the very end of this hall.
Can Jordan and Scott see what we're seeing?
Jordan and Scott have not followed you. Their tokens are here on the map, but they did not choose to follow you. They are still hanging out in the temple.
Come on in, guys.
You can't get in there. Oh, there it is.
Sylvie will sort of whisper to Guy and say, do you want to try the cellar, or should we kind of keep poking around up here?
Open the door to the cellar and let me through.
You could probably sneak in there, I think. Like, you could easily just sneak in.
Yeah, I'm going to go in there. You. I want to go down into the cellar.
Okay. All right, we are then going to split the party again.
Yes!
All right. Very good. All right, let's roll initiative for Sylvie and Guy.
All right, Guy got a 19.
Sylvie got a nat 1 for a 6.
Nice. Guy, you descend these steps. It is a narrow ladder, and it opens up into this room down below. It is this another storage room. This one has even more crates full of food. You can actually see vegetables and potatoes. You can see sacks of grain has been stacked up. Very neat. You can also see that there is on the eastern wall, there is an archway that leads out into a hallway. There is a door straight across the hallway from where you're at. It feels like you're in a basement, but it also has like a high ceiling. So it is not what you would expect of a storage basement. It seems like it is well used.
Okay. There's a lot of people in and out all the time here, is what you're saying.
Yes, it does look that way. Yes.
All right. I'm going out into the hallway.
Hey, in the hallway, you can see that there is a doorway straight across from this archway. And then further down, you can see that on the western wall, there is a door about halfway down the hall. And at the end, there is an archway. And on the eastern wall, there is a large archway. And then at the very end of the hall, it looks like it opens up into some kind of a chapel. As you begin to move down the hall, you can see the door on your right is closed, but straight across from the door, there is this large, like 10-foot wide archway. The archway itself looks quite well made. It's decorated with this like relief sculpture of what you assume must be Aeona holding a bowl with flame and fire. And as you look through the archway, you see beyond there is this large open room. It is 30 feet by 40 feet. Sorry, it is 40 feet by 30 feet. Rise over run. You can see that this room here to your left here on the in the eastern side, this large chamber, it has a golden tiles that head from this archway further into the room, leading to this pool, this decorative bath or spa of some kind. You see there are black tiles around these gold tiles, like that fill out the rest of the room. You see that there are these pillars holding up the ceiling that are also carved to look like Aeona, holding these bowls with fire in them. And on the back wall, you can see that the wall, this stone like basement wall, has been draped with black and gold curtains. And in this bath, you see that there is steam coming up from the water, and you see two women are currently in the process of bathing.
I will avert my eyes and continue on.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You avert your eyes.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to stop there with Guy for a second. Sylvie, you
right
are
in front
still
of the open door.
Sylvie, you are still in on the first floor, moving through the living quarters of this temple.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to the door right across and pop it open.
Yeah, so straight across from the kitchen, you open the door and you see a large dining room. There are these large tables, two of them, that are all set. You can see that there are candles lit, there are places set, there are pictures hanging on the walls, there are a couple of windows in here as well. You can see it looks like a nice dining room, and it looks like it's already set for about 16 to 18 people to actually eat. You imagine that's pretty much everyone here in the temple currently has a place set for their dinner.
Nice. So we know that they'll be in dinner in about 30 minutes. That's good to know. Okay. I'm going to cruise on down the hall.
Okay.
Help.
As you move to the cross hall, you can see this hall runs east and west. And at the far end of each hall, you see there is a door. And these doors, you can tell, are exterior doors. They are sturdier. They are sort of weather-beaten a little bit more than these interior doors. But you also see that there are a couple more doors here down this hall. So it looks like total in this room, in this hallway, there are four more doors that you have not opened besides the exterior doors. I know that seems like a lot, but this is an elaborate temple. This is a large building.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the north, south, east, the east door over here, and I'm going to kick that open. Not really. I'm going to slightly open it gently.
Okay. When you open it, you peer in, and the first thing you notice are beds. There are bunk beds. It looks like there is like 12 or 14 beds in here. You see the wardrobes up against the wall. You see that there are little tables for knickknacks and belongings, but for the most part, this is a pretty Spartan living. The floor in here is this elaborately laid wood, but otherwise, it almost looks like a barracks, right? Where people are just crammed in every which way. So it looks like that a little bit, but it doesn't feel that way. And the second thing you notice, besides the features in this room, is you notice that standing at one of the cupboards, you see Prelate Annalise. As she is looking through one of the cupboards, she turns back towards you as you open the door, and she says, "Ah, good evening, Acolyte."
"Good evening, Acolyte Annalise. I believe you're needed in the front room. There's a bit of chaos going on up there, and you were requested."
Make a deception check with disadvantage, and I'll tell you why later.
Oh, f*** me. Okay. It doesn't matter. It was a 2.
As you roll say
again and see if I got a 20. Oh my god, I f***ing did.
D&D, all right.
As you say, Acolyte Annalise.
Oh, I named her wrong.
You catch your mistake. And remember, no, she's a prelate. A prelate is like one rank up from an acolyte. You can even tell the robes that you are wearing, these fake robes, are different than hers. She looks at you, and I'm going to have her make a check. It's not going to be very hard to beat a 2.
What? Oh my gosh. She and I are both just staring at each other like,
To be fair, a 3 does beat a 2.
She figures it out faster than I do, but we're both just kind of looking at each other.
She looks at you and she kind of cocks her head to the side and she says, Acolyte, what's your name? Come here, please. What does Sylvie do in this moment?
Sylvie is going to... Oh my gosh, heck. What is Sylvie going to do? Sylvie is going to... She's going to step into the room and say, my apologies. My name is Sarah, miss. And will like try and look as contrite and sad as possible and sort of look towards the ground and just say, I'm new here. I was just told to come and grab you and I apologize for the mistake.
I was half expecting you to say, Jib Jab sends their regards, and then pitch folder.
We're going to see what happens.
Oh my gosh. All right. So she gets to make an investigation check as she is gazing at you a little more carefully than everybody else has. She has a +1 to this roll. What is your spell difficulty?
Okay, so save DC is 14.
So she's got to roll. If she rolls a 12 or lower, she will not see through your deception. One thing about rolling on roll 20, I wish that there sometimes was the... I guess there could be, but it seems like...
You can turn on the virtual dice and we get it.
Okay, here we go. Ready and roll. An 8.
Yeah!
She looks at you, though. Your deception was still terrible. And she says, Sarah, you don't belong here.
I don't know what you mean, miss.
I am a prelate of the Temple of Iona in Redlam, and I have been here as a prelate for the last 3 years. I would know if there was a new acolyte named Sarah who came here who was ordained of the Aeonan ministry. Who are you really? Sylvie, we're going to give you a second to think this through as we move back down to Ornan and Magram. You guys have a chest full of money and a stinky cloak. What are you guys doing?
Life feels pretty good. I got money and a stinky cloak. Hey, all right.
Now, I understand what you're saying, but I just really don't feel comfortable storing all that urine in my backpack.
You just gotta go with it, man. I don't understand why it's so hard.
I'm just worried that it might shatter and get all over everything.
Typical.
Oh my gosh. Are you guys making your way back to the Oaken Throne? Is that where you guys are going?
I did need to buy some things. I just would like to get a couple of light hammers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Like for throwing?
Like for throwing.
That's not a problem at all. You find a blacksmith who is making different kinds of... he's making different tools and things, but you talked to him about hammers that you can throw, and he finds some that he's had on hand for a while, and he sells them to you for whatever price is listed in the player's handbook. Magram, is there anything you wanted to buy too?
Honestly, no, not right now.
You guys have all this money and you're like, let's not spend it.
I'm gonna give some back to the team.
Yeah. I also have some letters to send too.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that then, maybe between sessions. All right, we are going back into the basement of the Temple of Iona with Guy. Guy, you are moving down this hallway towards this, must be a chapel at the end of the hall. You can see that the walls are decorated with these bas-relief depictions of Iona. You can see that here at the end of the hall that it looks like it opens up and then there is an archway that leads further to the west as you move down the hallway. So go ahead and start moving down the hallway, which you said you wanted to do.
Well, actually, I'm seeing that there is somebody down there at the edge, and I mm-hmm. can tell from their token that they look to be armored.
Okay, yeah, so I couldn't tell that you could see that far. Yes, you see that standing at this altar here in this chapel, you can see just the corner of somebody standing there that you recognize is wearing metal armor with a black and gold surcoat. With the information you've gathered already upstairs, you recognize that this seems to be one of the Nivorian wardens, one of these warriors who stands guard over the arcane magic users for Iona, ready to help them or kill them should the need arise.
Okay.
But that's what you notice while you are standing here. Look, there's a warden down here.
Okay, then I'm going to actually head back up the hall to the door that I came in, and I'm going to check the door just across from it.
Yeah, you open it up. You can see that there is a room full of, like, barrels. Looks like they keep alcohol down here, as well as some other kind of liquids of some kind. Maybe
urine.
Maybe wine. Maybe some water. It looks almost like it's organized and set up for hunkering down if they need to, right? Like a sort of like a prepper type of a situation.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, then I'm going to go back down to across from the baths. Again, averting my eyes. Here's the deal. Okay, guys, Guy doesn't need to be a voyeur to get off. he gets plenty without also being a creep.
Got it.
The room with the pool, you said, was kind of like there was steam in it, so maybe yes. A little hard for them to see. Yeah, so I'll just try to carefully open the door across the hall from that room.
Make a stealth check.
And that's an 18.
Oh, jeez. You creak the door open, and... Oh, with a natural 20, as the door opens, you hear a voice on the other side call out and say, "Hold, we're changing." And the door opens. You can see inside that it looks like this is some sort of a dressing room. There are wardrobes on the north wall and on the south wall. There's a bench in the middle, and you see these two Aeonian acolytes changing. You see one of them is covered in these flame tattoos that you recognize must be some sort of a Vantorian. You can see there are dressing like little curtained off areas at the very far end of this room, but it looks like they change in this room and then they hustle across the hall and into the pool. But there are these two men acolytes in here. It looks like they are changing and waiting their turn to use the tub across the hall.
Okay, well, I was carefully opening the door, so it was opening slowly. Mm-hmm. So I'll just let it go as if they hadn't latched it all the way, and I'm gonna back up.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go back up out of the cellar.
As you're moving back up out of the cellar, Sylvie, we are back to you with Prelate Annalise. What are you going to do?
Okay, I do have to drop my disguise, but I'm going to hopefully simultaneously go smoke bomb and drop a fog cloud on her.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So does she have to do? Or she just can't see.
Yeah, she just can't see, so it's going to be a 20-foot radius, so hopefully it'll block the hallway enough that she can't tell which direction I went.
Ninja, vanish!
Yep.
Let me just figure out how big that will actually be. Where are you dropping it at? Like, right at the door?
Well, it's 20 feet in range, so I figured if I drop it in the center of the room, she's pretty much blinded.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, you drop it. And then before you move, because we'll call that a surprise round, I want you to make you're still in the room. I want you to roll initiative.
All right. That's a 17. That's not a bad one, finally.
That's nice.
And
yeah.
She got a 2. So as you drop the fog cloud, you are able to move out the door and try to get away. You can make your movement as normal. So you can either dash or whatever you want to do. From where you are, you've used 10 feet. There is a door further to the east that you know would be an exterior door and lead outside of the temple. Or you can go back the way you came.
I'm going to go back the way I came, and I'm going to dash.
Okay. Okay.
So I think that puts me to about the hallway.
Well, that's 30 feet. You get 30 more feet.
So I'm going to just, like, as I'm running by, I'm going to swing open this door.
Okay.
Peek my head in.
As you peek
it's
your
guy, and I'm just peeking back out.
Oh, man.
All right, you open that door. You've only got 20 feet of movement left now at this point. As you peek in, you see that this is a bedroom that is different from the bedroom that Annalise was in. It's not like over the top decorated, but it is a single person's room. You see there is a desk covered in books and letters. You see there is this larger bed, and you see that sitting at the desk, there is this older man in his 50s who you would recognize from the burning as the Archprelate, the one who was doing all of the speaking before Jellowyn was burned. He is wearing the black and gold. Make a quick perception check for me, please, as you glance in and then run out.
It's a 19. Oops, sorry.
As you open the door, you see he is sitting at the desk. He's got his head in one hand, almost holding his head like he's got a headache as he runs his other fingers through his hair. It looks like in a overwhelmed or worried motion, but then he hears the door open and turns around to look at you just as you turn around, open the other door, and you see a room full of armor and weapons. It looks like this is where the armor and weapons of the Aeonian Crusaders and Inquisitors are stored while they are sleeping. And you now have 15 feet of movement left, and then it will be Annalise's turn.
Still not seeing anything that looks like, I don't know, any dungeon area. So I'm going to keep going. 1, 2, 3. I think that's as far as I can go. I'm going to keep heading west down this hallway towards this western exterior door.
Got it. You can see behind you that there is fog that is pouring out of this room that Annalise was in. It is now her turn, and the first thing you notice, the fog disappears instantly.
That bitch.
But she used her action to cast a spell, though, so that's nice.
As she used her action to cast Dispel Magic, and then she moves into the hallway chasing after you, she points and she says, "Stop that acolyte!" And we are now back to your turn. I'm going to roll initiative for Oswald. He got a 3. Okay, so the order is going to be Sylvie, then Oswald, the Archprelate, and then Prelate Annalise. Sylvie, you've got 2 more doors down this hall that you have not opened, and then there is the exterior door straight ahead on the western wall.
Sylvie's dashing for that exterior door, but she is throwing open these 2 while she's there.
Okay, that is 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 20 feet. You throw open one door. You see that it's a different way into the kitchen. You throw open the other door across the hall. You see it is another one of these rooms full of beds. You imagine this one must be for the men and the other one was for the women. And you still have a bit of movement left.
I hope Guy's being more fruitful than I am because I really f***ed up. All right, I'm exiting out this external door and saying, sorry, wrong house, and just peacing out.
Sorry, I forgot. I worship Torm, not Iona.
My bad.
Okay. I am going to see, as you get to the edge of the map, I'll say you can get right to the edge of the map. I just need to see what can Oswald do, and what else can Annalise do?
I was supposed to have a date with this woman. Now she's got work stuff.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Flash to Magram and Ornan having a beer. I sure hope they don't do anything silly without us. We're planning
no,
on...
surely they wouldn't do anything too silly.
But I'm eager to break that person out. But
you know, yeah. That Sylvie, I think she is the most cautious person I have ever met.
Yeah, I agree.
Happens to the best of us.
She's so level-headed. She'll make sure the Guy doesn't make any poor choices while they're out there.
I'm sure of it.
Okay, I have not measured this yet. If you're within 60 feet of the Archprelate, this could get very interesting. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. You are just out of range, 65 feet away, as the Archprelate holds up his hand. In one hand, he's got it pointed at you. The other hand, he is holding a symbol of Aeona, and you are just too far for him to cast Hold Person, as Prelate Annalise comes running up behind him, and she casts a spell, and suddenly you see this aura around her. It's similar to when Magram uses his power of Kelimvor. This aura around her is a little different, though. It is sort of orange and red and wavy, like ethereal fire around her in a 15-foot radius. But Sylvie, you are far enough away. You can now, on your turn, slip away into the streets and get away from the Temple of Aeona and from Archprelate Oswald, who is a challenge rating of...
I could have taken him.
No, you could not have taken him, I guarantee it. Prelate Annalise and Archprelate Oswald follow you to the door, and then you are long gone as they turn and talk to each other. Guy, you head back up the stairs. Just as you come up the stairs, you hear commotion coming from outside of the door in the hallway here of this living chamber of the Temple of Aeona. What are you going to do as you are still invisible?
just so we're clear, I'm in this room that led down to the cellar, and yes, the door is on the eastern wall, which led to the main hall that would then go back into the kind of the area where parishioners would be.
Exactly. And you are invisible, and all of these doors have been shut behind you.
Okay, yes. But does it sound like the discussion, the hubbub, is happening right outside this door or coming through somewhere else?
Make a perception check.
Come on. That would be a 15.
With a 15, you can hear, it seems like most of the commotion is coming from a little bit further away from the hall, but with your 15 perception, you also hear what sounds like boots or shoes moving down the hall. Not necessarily running, but definitely moving down past the door that you are standing behind.
Okay. Ugh. I'm going to wait for it to sound like the boots have moved past the door and then try to cautiously open the door to get out of here.
You hear the boots move down the hall for about another, I don't know, 5 or 6 seconds, and then they stop. You can hear the conversation has now picked up a little bit more, a little bit further to the south.
Listen to all the nice things they're saying about me.
You open the door. I'm going to have you make a stealth check with advantage because you're invisible, as well as because you waited to open the door.
Okay, that's a nat 20 for a 22. Oh my goodness.
With your natural 20, I'm not going to make you make any more stealth checks. As you sneak out, you can see that the two Vantorians who had been in the chapel with you and Sylvie earlier in the evening have now moved into the hallway and are talking with what looks like the archprelate of this temple. From where you're standing, you can't see Prelate Annalise, but you can hear her voice as they are discussing the intruder who came disguised as an acolyte of Aeona, who then fled the scene after using forbidden magics in their holy space.
I said smoke bomb.
And I scuffed my feet on the carpet.
Yeah, come on now.
Gi, with your natural 20, you no longer need to make checks if what you want to do right now is just kind of move out through the temple and get out of here. If you want to hang out and listen a little bit more or investigate any further, then we're going to go right back into making more checks.
Nope, I am getting out of here. I'm making my way to the Black Dog for my hot date.
So you are just going straight to the Black Dog. Okay.
Well, it's dinner time. I figured if dinner's going to be in a half an hour, then Annalise is used to having dinner about now, which means that I should probably get there so she'll come meet me for dinner around this time.
Okay.
It's all very logical, Paul.
It does make sense. It does make sense. All right. Gi, you exit the Temple of Aeona. So here's where we're at. Maugrim and Ornan, you guys have made it back to the Temple of Aeon, or to the, no, you have not. You've made it back to the Oaken Throne, none the wiser of all the shenanigans that your two fellow travelers have been up to. Sylvie, you have dashed off into the streets as the sun is setting and things are getting dark. Gi, you waltz right out the front of the temple. So what I want to know at this moment is, until next time, will you have a great time?
That was so
you sneaky dog.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Hey, thank you so much for playing. That was not at all how I expected things to go. That was so fun. I had a great time. Maugrim and Ornan, I hope you guys had fun too.
Yeah, it was good.
Let me make it clear, because people were standing around talking, I assumed Sylvie hadn't been captured. I mean, something went down, but there wasn't like, you know, seize her or anything going on. It was a conversation in the hall.
Yeah, exactly. They were talking about somebody who had posed as an acolyte of Aeona and then had fled the scene. But yeah, okay. Well, very good. Hey, guys, thank you so much for playing. Next time we get together, we're going to see what the fallout is. We'll see if Prelate Annalise can actually even get away from the temple after all the shenanigans that just happened for her hot date with Gi of Grants
Harbor. Oh, no. Gi's
going to
get stood up.
Oh, darn.
I want to find out about Peter. I need to find out about Peter. It's about the dreams, guys.
I was worried for a minute there that Sylvie was going to kill her. So, I mean, this
is better
than that.
I was just trying to, like, incapacitate her. But, yeah, no, that's all.
But Sylvie is moving through the streets. Who knows where she's going? Mogrim and Ornan, I imagine, are just like getting to the Oaken Throne, grabbing a drink as they wait for their friends to show up.
Yeah.
Next time we get together, we are going to see just what fallout there will be from this excursion into the Temple of Aeona by Guy and Sylvie. But like I already said, until we get together next time, we hope you have a great time.